The following three-part podcast is provided by CALM, the Committee on Archives, Libraries, and Museums, a joint committee of the American Library Association, Association of American Museums, and the Society of American Archivists, under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike license. For more information, go to creativecommons.org. Part 2.
The following podcast was produced for CALM, the Joint Committee on Archives, Libraries, and Museums. I'm Lee Reifenberg, a member of Group C in the 2010 cohort of the American Library Association's Emerging Leaders Program. Our group was honored to have David Ferriero, Archivist of the United States, as our inaugural podcast guest. A long road has led Mr. Ferriero to his current position at the National Archives, from his naval service during the Vietnam War to shelving books in the MIT Library to high-profile positions at Duke University and the New York Public Library. He has gained a wealth of experience and a unique perspective that continues to inform his work as the chief collector and protector of the record of the United States. We discuss those experiences, his role at the National Archives, and his views on the future of libraries, archives, and museums when we met in his office in Washington, D.C.
In the past few years, there's been a lot of talk about the convergence of libraries, archives, and museums. And the idea is that different types of cultural heritage institutions will be better able to serve their patrons by working more closely together and possibly becoming part of a single system with a common infrastructure. As the head of an agency that comprises all three, what do you think of that particular?
Actually, all of my jobs have had aspects of museums, archives, and libraries. When you reduce it to its basics, all three institutions have similar set of priorities, a similar mission. It's collecting, protecting, and encouraging the use of whatever the content is. Okay. In my case right now, it's records. And in the past, it's been research material. But I've always had those three aspects of my job, is collecting, bringing in collections, building collections, protecting them, preservation, conservation, security of collections, and encouraging the use of exhibitions, educational outreach, all those kinds of things. And the content in all three institutions has been similar in terms of paper and multiple formats, but also rare books, manuscripts, and special collections. In all three institutions, records, the records management programs at the three institutions, and archival programs at the three institutions. So my experience in my entire professional career has been in institutions that had aspects of library, archive, and museum.
How do the three elements specifically interact within the National Archives? How do they support each other?
We are the agency responsible for the records of the government. There are about 250 agencies in the government. All of their records come under my jurisdiction. Every agency has a records management program. They have a records schedule so that we work with them on in terms of deciding the nature of the records, how long they're kept, and which ones are of historic value that will eventually come to the archives. It's about 2-3% of the records created in the agencies become historic and reside with us. So the records piece of it is the collection piece, I would say. There are security issues around the material that when it gets here to ensure that it's safe and protected, and conservation preservation issues sometimes around it. We could have taken a stance that that's all that we need to do, but encouraging the use of the collections is probably the most exciting piece of what we do through our exhibits and our education programs and the website, getting people excited about history, about the American experience. All the immigration records are here, the service to genealogists, all of those kinds of things which bring the collections to life are a huge part of of what we do.
Do you see yourself encouraging further integration of
Definitely.
The two elements?
Okay. Definitely, yeah. It's interesting because I'm getting, on my blog I've been talking about the concept of citizen archivist to get the community more involved in helping us process our records or at least contribute their thoughts on the collections that they're using. It's always bothered me in all of my lives. We had a wonderful experience with researchers who were exploring our collections and making discoveries that the staff certainly didn't know about because, you don't have time to do the in-depth use of the collections, and it's only through the eyes of the user that you really realize what you have. And they walk out. They might do a book, they might do an article, but they walk out with all this knowledge. So this is a way of capturing that knowledge right there when they're working with the collection, to use it to enhance access and to let the next researcher who comes along know what's in the collection. I'm surprised at the amount of pushback I'm getting from some quarters about using the term citizen archivist as if that's territory that's only available to certain credentialed folks.
Okay. Interesting. No, I'm glad you explained the concept. I saw it on your blog, and I thought that was intriguing. As you can probably imagine, this whole notion of convergence tends to—it's one of those issues that tends to engender strong opinions
Sure.
from people in all three fields: libraries, archives, and museums.
Let me just explain another aspect of the archive's responsibility.
Please.
Not only do we use the records in terms of exhibitions and education, but the archives is also responsible for the presidential libraries.
Yes.
So each one of those libraries is also a museum. So all the artifacts associated with the president reside in those facilities, and I would safe to say they are eclectic collections of stuff. Gifts from heads of state, gifts from the American public, all those kinds of things.
So, sure.
And it's another way of educating people about the presidency and what it was like to be this particular president during this particular time.
Mm-hmm.
I had an opportunity a couple of weeks ago to go upstairs and to see some of the 15,000 Obama gifts that have started to arrive.
Oh, gosh, okay.
We're already at 15,000, and in two terms of Bush 43, total of 40,000, so a lot of things coming in.
A lot of things under one umbrella.
That's right.
Gosh. Okay. As archival and librarians and museum professionals, we often hear an argument that I'm curious to get your reaction to, and again, this is convergence related. Some would say that thanks to Web 2.0 and this growing online culture and our own immersion in this constantly changing digital landscape, that libraries, archives, and museums are actually being propelled toward convergence whether we like it or not. And again, that's because when someone goes online looking for primary sources or other types of historical and cultural material, it's about access for them. They're not distinguishing who's providing or housing the content. Fair argument? Overblown?
No, I think it's fair. I think users don't care where the content's coming from as long as they can get their hands on it. And the more we can do to get it where they are, instead of forcing them to jump through hoops to find it, the better off we are. And the more collaborative kinds of things we can do to encourage that, I think the better off we are in terms of fulfilling our mission. Our goal is to get as much information into the heads and eyes of our user communities. And however that happens, I think it's a collaborative process. One of the things I learned at the New York Public Library, mainly from my director of digital strategy, was, libraries have a great tradition, libraries, archives, and museums, a great tradition of building a physical facility and expecting people to come. And then we got into the digital environment. We built these wonderful digital libraries, archives, and museums and expected people to come. But that's not where the people are. So where are the people? And how can we get our content into their eyes? So, if you're looking for photographs, you're not going to come to the National Archives. You're going to go to Flickr. So get your photographs onto Flickr. Thinking that way, instead of forcing people to come into your, you know, into your space, virtually or physically, I think is a lesson I learned there. And it's something that we all need to think about. People don't care where the stuff is coming from. Just give me the stuff.
I want it now.
Yeah. Well, that's the scary part, because, as you know, every new generation, you know, thinks that if it isn't online, it doesn't exist. So
exactly.
We got to stop fighting about that and obsessing about that and give them what they
don't
want.
Make it happen.
That's right.
With that in mind, then, do you see the professional distinction between archivists and librarians and museum professionals blurring?
Oh, Lord. This is another one of those controversial issues that, you know, people are really wound up on the credentials. And I'm convinced that, as I said, when you cut to the chase here in terms of what we're responsible for, the content may be different, but our missions are the same, and we have more in common than we do differences. I just came back from lunch with the folks at the Holocaust Museum, talking about this very fact about curatorial staff as opposed to paper-based reference staff. I think we set up artificial barriers around credentials that are unnecessary.
Do you think that there's anything that successful librarians, museum professionals, and archivists have in common?
I think that we give a lot of service to user-centered kinds of organizations. Everyone's using that language now in their thinking and planning and marketing of their collection. Their organization is now user-centered. And I think one of the really successful organizations are led by people who really believe that and really understand users and are excited by the interaction and go out of their way to listen to users. I think good leaders are good listeners. And I think that shows.